This morning, what I want to talk about is just being true, really fully alive in His presence and knowing His presence on a daily basis. Here's what God just put in my heart about 2-3 weeks ago, and I couldn't get it out. I just couldn't get it away. What are we laying down our lives for? What are we laying down our lives for? I started to think about Jesus. I started to think about every moment of every day. I think there was a consciousness that He had come to lay down His life. I think every moment of every day, I don't think it dominated Him in the sense of it was putting Him down or making Him afraid or worrying, but I think every day He lived with eternal purpose because He knew He was made for something. He knew He had come to earth to do something significant. And for us, we can quickly get to a place of maybe in the early days we think we're significant. Maybe in the early days we think we're here to do great things for the Lord. But if we're not careful, that stuff can be knocked out of us because of circumstances, because of maybe other people, because of things, because of difficult things that we've been through. And then suddenly we start to feel unworthy again. We start to feel shameful again. We start to feel burdened again. We start to get consumed with all of this negative stuff. In fact, it starts to feel like sin again, and it starts to weigh us down. And we get to this place of, wow, am I meant for significance? We start to doubt ourselves. And of course, the enemy loves it, but the Lord is just praying over us and singing over us in the hope that we might hear the song again, that we're sons and daughters of the King. In the hope that we might hear a dream again, or might receive a dream again, or may just become alive again in the presence of the Lord, that we would start to dream and believe that we are people of purpose and we're here to extend the kingdom of God. See, we are here to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We're here to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. We're here to do greater things than Jesus, the Word says. And yet, if we forget what we're here to do, if we forget what we're laying our lives for, if we forget what we're laying down our lives for and what we're putting it into, we can get sidetracked by everything else. And of course, it distracts us away from a mission. And so here is my question right from the beginning. What are we laying our lives down for? What am I giving my life to? What am I giving my life to? I don't want it solely to be a career. I don't want it to solely be a relationship, unless it's Jesus. I want it to be Jesus. I don't want it to seem that He's second class and, you know, if we go for Him, then you're going to have to be a pastor, or you're going to have to be this, or you're going to have to be that. Make no illusions about it. If you go for Jesus, He will be an incredible rewarder. The Bible says He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you're lacking reward in your life in terms of how you feel in your life, in terms of confidence, maybe in terms of self-worth and value and self-esteem, then we get it from seeking first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to us. And yet it seems like we get caught into this intellectual debate or this idea of that I need to achieve these things in my career or this or that. And God's saying this morning, don't get too dragged down by those things. All of those things are of value. I'm in business. I'm self-employed. I love all of that, but it's a blessing from God. And where it comes from is God. It's not my number one. I love Jesus more. I love to worship Him. I love to spend time in His presence, not because I have to, because I want to, because I just love to be with Him because I realize it's a relationship. And the Lord is here this morning saying, what are we laying down our lives for? Maybe we need to reassess. Think of this famous verse. We love this verse and vibe, but it really just spoke again in my heart this week. John 10:10, we've got it on the screen. John 10:10, you know it so well. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come, Jesus saying, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Or other translations will have life to abundance. In other words, life to overflow. And the context of the verse is in John 10, it talks about Jesus being the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. Not a great picture for us being sheep, but it's to illustrate the good shepherd kind of analogy, that He is the good shepherd and He knows what we need. And so the thief talks about thieves that would come to steal the sheep, and Jesus is there. And I thought this week, and what God was putting in my heart is that I wonder which one we're veering to most. I'm living concerned and worried with the thief because that's all that's in my consciousness. Or am I living concerned and maybe not worried, but am I living focused? I'm blessed and in love because I know I'm with the Good Shepherd. And God is here this morning and He says, hey, where do we find ourselves? He doesn't even really want us in the middle. He wants us to be coming so close to the Good Shepherd because it goes on to say that my sheep know my voice and no other voice do they know. And they recognize me and I know them. And the Lord is here this morning. He said, are we getting so used to the enemy's voice almost, that voice of worry, that voice of anxiety, that voice of depression? And I'm not belittling any of those things, but we can get so used to those voices, they're the only voices that we listen to. And yet the Lord is here and He's saying, hey, you were made for more. You were made to live alive in me, alive to all its fullness. And maybe the mistake that we've made is this, is that to live full means I'm totally on top of the world. I'm always bursting. I'm always an optimist. I'm always overflowing. And all of that stuff is good, but it's not real. Because God talked about troubles just as much as he talked about anything else. In fact, Jesus talked about hell more than anything else. He was a realist. He was an absolute realist. He knew what the physical was all about, but he just simply said this, the spiritual is greater. I am greater than that. What my Father says is greater. That is a greater reality. That is a greater dimension of reality. And we are here this morning, and sometimes maybe we get dismayed and we get overcome because, like, how can I be in abundant life because my life is a mess? How can I be in abundant life because I don't feel like that, I don't think like that? And God said, I want to pull you back because remember, you're just a sheep. You're trying to think too much. You're trying to do too much. I am the good shepherd, and I lead you into green pastures. I bring you to the good places. I keep you away from the bad things. We're going to read it in just a moment, but he says that he is the gate, and he opens the gate, and he closes the gate, and he keeps the thieves out. And so the Lord is here this morning. He's saying this to us as we would kind of get into what we're talking about. Fix our eyes on him. Keep close to him. Let him do his job, and you do your job. And don't get too veered off to the left, because if the left is the thief, that's not where I want to be. I want to be over here with the Lord. I want to know his abundance. I want to rest in that. I want to partner with that. It's incredible when you think we can wake up in the mornings and we can go day by day and we can be partnering with all this negative stuff in our lives. And it's not negative thinking in a sense. It's not being overcome with that, but that's part of it. It's spiritual because there's a spiritual realm and it's trying to drag us into that. The enemy is coming and he's trying to steal from us. He's trying to thieve from us. He's trying to take away from us. He's trying to rob us of our dreams. He's trying to rob us of our identity. He's trying to rob us of our kingship and our queenship. He's trying to rob us of who we are, that we're royalty. Because if he can pull us down, he is winning. If he can get us closer to over here, then we're further from there. It's simple. But God says, I have come to give you life and life to all its fullest. And so that's what we're going to think about this morning. Here's where it says in verse 7 of John 10. It says, therefore Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I love this. I love this. Now, we were moving cows yesterday for Dad. We were moving some cows. And you know what I realized? Was that they moved from a field of safety, but to get to the other field, on most occasions, they got to go through a treacherous path. They got to go on the road. A lot of times you got to go on the road. And on the road, there's lots of dangerous things for cows. There's cars, and cows and cars don't mix. In fact, if they do mix, this is just a bad end. They just don't mix. They don't really like people or strangers. They just like to know the ones that they know. Cows are funny. They know who they know. They know the way you talk. They know the way you call, and they recognize you. If they know you, they come running as soon as they see you in the field. If they don't know, they're probably running away from you. But sheep are the same. And we get moved from one pasture to the next. And God is a realist. He knows that when we move from that one pasture to the next, there'll be highs and lows. There'll be ups and downs. There'll be thieves that come to try to grab us. But Jesus says, I am the gate, and I know the times to let you out. I know the times to let you move. I know the times to bring you to new green pastures. See, there's times where you got to move your animals. There's times where you got to move them. Because if you leave them too long in that field, they're going to start to burst to get out because they're so hungry. They're going to want to get out of there. And so we've got to move them to green pastures. And the Lord says this morning, if you would trust me, if you would stay close to me, if you would focus on my heart and not listen to those other voices. See, there comes a point in our faith where we have to say, by faith, I'm not listening to those other voices. By faith, God has said it. I don't recognize those voices anymore. I'm not trying to outwit myself. I'm not trying to talk myself out of it. I'm simply activating the faith that God has given me. I only listen to his voice. His is the only voice I want to listen to. His is the only voice that I need. There's no other voice that's going to be good for me. His is the only voice. And so this morning, by faith we receive salvation. By faith we live by faith in Jesus. By faith we please the Lord. By faith we believe for things. And so by faith we can activate those things in our lives. And we can remind ourselves that I don't speak like that anymore. Here's what it says about the good shepherd in verse 11 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. Do we see how good our good shepherd is this morning? See, I think sometimes we get so fixed in trying to be the sheep and the shepherd. We get so fixed by trying to be the follower and the leader. And God says, I am the leader. I am the author and finisher of your faith. Trust me with your life. And we could be here and we're trying to do too much. We're trying to be everything. And God says, let me be me and trust me. Now, I know it's going to be difficult at times. I know it's not going to look the part because there's times where the circumstances don't match up with what you feel that God's called you to do. There's many times where we move into something new in God, or he asks us to move somewhere, or we get presented with a thing that we never thought was going to happen. And we think to ourselves, God, is this green pasture? Is this what you've decided for me? Is this where you've brought me to? And it's in those moments where really our faith gets activated. And we say, hey, it's in these moments where I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust him. Because just like the disciples, they weren't sure what was going on when Jesus went to the cross. But when he came out of it, he showed them the evidence. He showed them the nail prints in his hands, the mark in his side. And they believed because they knew Jesus was who said he was. And so we're here this morning and he is a good shepherd. Verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. We know him. This is not me making it up. This is God saying it. You will know him. So we can get consumed. We can get consumed with everything that's out there. Anytime you got sheep, there's probably foxes lurking about. They're looking to get what they can get. Or maybe if we're a different place, there might be a wolf. And they're looking to get what they can get from it. And we can get concerned with that and worried with that. And think about it. We could be looking out our window and all we're thinking about is the wolf. All that we're thinking about is like, where's the attack coming from next? Where's the anxiety coming from next? And that's a horrible way to be. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to trust the Lord with those burdens. Trust God with that. And if we don't have the strength to do that, that's why we're a family and God calls us to be a family. So trust somebody else with it and ask them to pray for you. In fact, that's what we should do all of the time because we have a family and a family is there for us. It's amazing how when we're going through difficult times and we're going through issues, it's so hard to spot it in our lives. And yet we can look to somebody else and we seem to spot it so easily. But God is here this morning. He says, I want to remind you, you've got an incredible family. Do you remember Luke 15? The sheep knew that when one went missing, Jesus is going to go looking for it. And we've got to know this morning. There's some days we're trying to do all of that and we're burning ourselves out and we're affecting our own walk because we're trying to do too much instead of coming together as a family and trusting the shepherd because he is good and he knows our hearts and he's not a million miles away. He's closer than we think. Our lives can be like a roller coaster. They can be up and down. And what I've started to see recently, and I've noticed it, and maybe you've seen it as well in our culture, is that when catastrophe hits, we all seem to want to pray now, which is really good. And everybody wants to pray, which is obviously really, really good. Now, what we're praying to or who we're praying to, I'm not sure for everyone, but I'm trusting that we're praying to Jesus. I'm trusting that we're praying to Jesus because he is the answer. But there's this incredible thing that happens, and a lot of it is good, where something terrible happens, and then everybody wants to pray, and we're hashtagging pray for this, and we're photos pray for that. But what I'm thinking is that if we're not careful, that seeps into our culture. And then we find ourselves only praying when catastrophe hits. We find ourselves praying when only difficult things come along instead of being a people of prayer, instead of being a people who know the heartbeat of God and who walk with God and know his voice and he knows ours. Instead of a people that are consistently moving and hopefully upwards and hopefully moving forward in God, instead we're finding ourselves kind of partnering with everybody else, and we're going up and down like roller coasters. And I feel that even in my heart, and I don't know about your hearts, but I'm feeling like the Lord, I'm just coming to the Lord, and I'm repenting from that stuff, and I'm reminding myself that God has called me for so much more than that. He has called me for so much more. Because when I start to get into that trap, I start to go up and down in my faith, up and down in my faith, and I start to doubt who I am. I start to forget what God has called me to do, and I start to live my life in reaction based. And I'm reacting to this, I'm reacting to that. And you know what very quickly happens? I start to think to myself, wow, the goal is I'm good at all the rest. My goal is that catastrophe never happens. Because my goal is this, if catastrophe never happens, I don't need to pray, so I can get on with the business of life. And God is saying, I never want us to get away from that. I want the goal to be get closer to Jesus, get closer to the shepherd, press in deeper, know his love more, because he's going to lead us to all truth. He's going to lead us back into abundant life. He's going to remind us what we're called for. Even when the sheep are worrying, the shepherd speaks to them. He says, don't worry, I'll bring you to green pastures soon. Don't worry, I'm bringing you out. Don't worry, I've got a plan. We need to know this morning that God is calling us further and he's calling us deeper. I was listening to something on the TV this week and thought it really illustrated the point and maybe reminds us of this morning. We're hearing loads in the media about rugby and stuff. If you're a rugby fan, you're all tuned into it. If you're not, you're like shut up about rugby, but the Lions, who are British and Irish players from here, are went to play the New Zealand guys over in New Zealand. So they're playing the All Blacks. And they're like the best team, and everybody's trying to beat them, but they're amazing. But the thing that I learned about them, and I don't believe in everything they believe in, but what I learned from them was the heartbeat of their team. They said what they started to realize was about 10, 15 years ago, they were starting to become like every other team. And then I'm starting to prick up my ears. I'm like, what are they going to say next? They said, we realized we were starting to become like every other team. It was all about winning at all costs. It was all about tramping over the other team. It was all about defeat, like conquering and defeat and all of that kind of stuff. It was just all about that. And we forgot about what our heartbeat was, that we were a family. Because the thing that sets the All Blacks apart is they try to play a different way. They try to live a different way. They try to be brothers bigger than anything else. They try to be brothers. They're not out to defeat and kill the enemy. They're just out to win because they're brothers and brothers love to win. So they have a different mentality and different heart. And you've probably seen it on TV. They do that haka thing. I'm not going to demonstrate it. But they do that haka dance thing, which is really cool, really fun. But they said back like 10, 15 years ago, they even questioned, should we be doing that anymore? They'd forgotten what they were about. They'd forgotten their roots. Now, that's part of their roots. So then they went back, and long story short, they did a new haka. And so from that time forward, they've been doing this new kind of war dance. And it reminds them of who they are. It reminds them of where they've come from. And I thought to myself, wow, we could learn a lot from that. Because if we're not careful, we forget whose we are. We forget where we've come from. We forget that we belong to a supernatural God. We forget that we're part of a kingdom. We forget that we're part of a family. And we're to be good cheer because God's already overcome the world. In fact, like we read 2 weeks ago, it says, but take heart because Jesus already won. We forget what we belong to. And so if we're not careful, we start listening and believing all the stories that everybody else believes, that the world's getting worse, that everything's getting bad. It's all going to go from worse to worse. It's all going to fall apart. Nobody has answers. Nobody has truth. And yet we know truth. We know that we're going from glory to glory. It may not seem in the natural all the time, but we know that we're living in heavenly places with Christ. We know that if God is for us, who can be against us? We know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And yet, if I'm not careful, I start to think about other things, and I start to take in other things, and they start to become my strength. And then I'm up and down like everybody else. Then I've got the problems of everybody else. Now, we may have the problems of everybody else, but we have a king that makes us different. We are part of a family that makes us completely different. And I want us to look this morning, 3-4 quick things as we're getting ready to get near the end, because I know our time is flying, but I want to remind us of whose we are and what we're about. We are children of God. I just think that we need to get deeper and deeper and deeper in that, because it's going to sustain us and it's going to drive us forward. The moments that we get in our weeks and the moments that we get in our day when we feel lonely, if we could remember that we're a child of God, suddenly we would remember we're part of a family. Suddenly we remember, not only am I part of a family, but I'm part of a kingdom family, a supernatural family, and that makes all the difference. If we could remember we're a child of God, suddenly when we feel that nobody loves us and nobody wants us and we're full of rejection in the most hurtful places of our lives, suddenly something would start to grow again. Something would start to spark, because we would remember that we are children of God. We have been marked by his love, and that mark will not come off because his love is so great. But here's what God really challenged my heart with this morning, and we're going to share it for just a few moments. Mark 16, verses 17, 18. I want to read it together. And these signs, I'm going to read it first. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name you will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Can you believe that kind of stuff is in there? Can you believe it's there? It's like, what? This is what's part of us. This is what's part of our family. Our family does miracles. Our family does the supernatural. It's what we do. Other families do other things, but we do supernatural. We do healing. We do breakthrough. We do salvation. We do all of those things. That's what comes most naturally to us. I don't know, you go and visit some families, they just do certain things naturally. You go visit a sporty family, they're just good at everything. They win everything at sports day. Jessica did not win anything at sports day, but she got a medal anyway. I'm going to have to practice with her for the next year. That's why I said we're going to practice, practice, practice. But so some families, it's just what happens. Our family, you know what should automatically happen? Supernatural. Supernatural. But you know what has started to happen? And it started to creep into our DNA more and more and more? Fear and worry. And like, oh, I can't believe for that. And what if God doesn't do this? And we started to doubt. And we've got consumed. Because other people's opinions and other people's reactions have started to dominate our thinking. Other people's reactions and other people's opinions have started to frighten us. If you remember back to Noah, God told him to build a boat. Everybody thought he was crazy, but we all know the end of the story. There was only one family left. And life is incredible, and life is deadly. We need the supernatural in our lives. We need to know when we accept Jesus into our hearts that we are transformed. We need to know that he has made all things new. And if we can believe for that, then we need to believe for everything else. I believe in healing in Jesus' name. Because I can't do it, but I know that he can. I've seen healing constantly over and over and over again. But you know what? Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I forget because I'm so blocked by everything else. Like, oh, we're just going to have to put up with that. That's just one of those things. That's just what we bear with. Now, I know there's times like that. And I know that there's things like that. But I remember back to the New Testament. And I keep remembering this one word that said all. And this is this one word, and it said everywhere Jesus went, all were healed, all were set free, all were delivered. And then Jesus, when he left, we said at the very beginning, he said, there's one coming just like me, the Holy Spirit. He is going to empower you. He's going to lead you into all truth. And you're going to go and do what I've done, but you're going to do even better. You're going to do even more. And I'm wondering, and I'm looking at myself, and maybe you'll look at yourself in the mirror later, and you'll go, am I doing more than that? Because Jesus told me I would. Am I believing for more like that? And yet God says all we need is faith as small as a mustard seed, the most tiny seed you could ever imagine, and we would see mountains move. So we got to know that supernatural is our DNA. Seeing mountains move is what we do for breakfast. Seeing people healed is just automatic everywhere we go. I loved in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, even the shadow of some of the disciples would heal people as they would pass by. They go, whoa, what just happened to me? I just got healed because one of their shadows just touched me, because the presence of God was all over their lives, because they believed that Jesus was greater than anything. And here's what I'm encouraging our hearts with this morning. It's not positive thinking. You can positive think all you like. You can be the greatest optimist all you like. But if it's not in Jesus, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. All we are saying this morning when we believe for healing is that I know Jesus can do this. I know. Maybe you take it even a step further and you go, I know I can't do this, but I know Jesus can. I know Jesus can. Everywhere through the New Testament, anywhere Jesus went, if there was unbelief, he just had to ask them to leave the room. I'm sure he was polite at times. I'm sure there was other times he wasn't. But he just says, hey, if you haven't got a heart full of belief, you've got to leave the room, because your unbelief is going to spoil what we're going to do next. And God is here this morning. He wants to challenge our hearts. And he says, hey, if there's unbelief in your heart, bring it to him. Let him lift it out from your heart. And you start to believe with faith. You start to believe with no doubt, and watch what the Lord is going to do in your life. And when it doesn't turn out as you expect, no problem. Move on to the next, and we're going to believe for healing the next time. We cannot be defined by the things we thought didn't work out the way we thought they would. We're defined by Jesus and what he says. We're defined what the word says. By his stripes we are healed. And we know that signs and wonders would follow. Last point in that, and they're going to move on because I'm getting too excited. But any time in the book of Acts that the disciples would pray, any time that the disciples would speak the word, signs and wonders would always back up the word. You got to know that every single time. And so we're not following the signs. We're following the sign, Jesus Christ. But everywhere Jesus went, the signs would follow. Everywhere Jesus would go, the signs would follow. I want this to be in our lives. Everywhere we go, the signs just follow. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting transformed. We went to Greece last year, where Jenny hangs out all the time. And we went there, and we saw a guy in a wheelchair. And I'll never get tired of the story. And we saw him. And he wasn't a guy who was disabled from birth. It wasn't one of those stories. But it was a guy who had made his way from refugee camps from hundreds of miles away. And he'd hurt his foot along the way, but he had to keep walking. Till eventually he just wrecked his foot. I'm sure he'd wrecked ligaments. He'd probably broken bones in there. And he was just stuck in this wheelchair. And he wanted to get out. And so we went and prayed for him. And we just had simple childlike faith. Maybe it was just in the hot, maybe the temperature was just getting their heads. I don't know. But we were just starting to believe for all sorts of things. And we prayed for him. We asked Jesus to come and heal him. And he said, I don't know. I'm not sure if I feel anything. And then we said, hey, do you want to get up? Because we just believe God's doing something. And he got up. And he slowly started to shuffle. But there was this point in the story and this point in the moment where he wanted to get back in his wheelchair. And we said, hey, do you want to get in your wheelchair because you think you need to, or because you have to? And he goes, because I think I need to, because I'm not sure, because I don't know, I'm not sure what to do next. And we said, hey, well, if you're not sure, just keep going, keep walking. By the end of it, he just started, slowly got better and better and better. You know what he was doing by the end? He was like a kid. He was behind the wheelchair and he was pushing it all around the place, doing laps and laps and laps and laps. And we were like, this is crazy. But there was a point where we had to press through. There was a point where we had to keep going. He wanted to get back in the wheelchair because it felt like home. It felt like that was the place where he lived now. And if we're not careful, we can get used to home being the wrong place. God says, our home is not here. our home is there. He is incredible, and he's here to do incredible things in our lives. I'm going to read one more verse, and then I'm going to dump everything else because it's too late. Psalm 23, here's what it says. I want to read it together. It's super small there, but I'm going to read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is written way, way back in the Old Testament. It's like, is this even relevant anymore? It is just as relevant today as it was back then. I need this. This is like water to my soul this morning as I read this. This is incredible. He leads me into green pastures. Think about this morning. He knows when I need to move. He knows what I need next. He knows everything I'm struggling with. He knows everything I need to have, and he leads me there. He leads me there. He's a good shepherd. He brings me there. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. When I'm not sure what to do next, he leads me. Whenever I go through the valley of the shadow of death, there's no darker place than that. There's no more real place than that. He is with me, and he is bringing me through, and goodness and mercy are following me. He said, even in the midst of my enemies, he's making a table for me. Think about the table. Think about a table. Think about when we come to our tea at the end of a busy day. We come and relax at our table, and we eat from what the Lord has blessed us from. And we sit there, and hopefully we have a relaxed time, and we get full, and we rejoice, and we get back to normal again after a busy day. And the Lord says, in the midst of your enemies, I've prepared a table for you that you can come and rest even in that situation. Imagine even in your darkest day, the Lord has a table for you. He has prepared that for you, and he invites you to come and sit with them and talk to him as if it's no big deal because he's got it all under control. God is here this morning. He is your good shepherd, and he leads you into pastures green. He brings you into these good places. Can we stand together? There's so much more, but the Lord's going to continue to work, and he's going to do what I don't have time to do. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. I want to speak to our hearts. Wow, thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes this morning. We're going to just take a moment with the Lord. Lord, I want you to speak boldly into our hearts this morning like you're always wanting to do. And remind us that we're pioneers of the faith. Remind us, Lord, this morning that every step we take, Lord, we're claiming ground for the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray this morning that you would remind us who we are and whose we are, as we've been talking about for weeks. Lord, I pray this morning you remind us that we are sons and daughters of the King, and we have a supernatural mandate to affect the world with the gospel and with the signs and wonders of Jesus everywhere we go. Lord, the world is so desperate to get to find something that's real, and we have everything locked up inside of us, but that's the problem. It needs to get out in Jesus' name. And Lord, I think we're already at the point, but I ask you to bring us back where we've forgotten that our God is a supernatural God. That we've begun to forget that he heals. That we've begun to forget that we should pray when things happen and say, God, is this spiritual? Is this something I have to live with? Or is this something you want to heal right now? Lord, I pray this morning that we would not forget, Lord, that every battle that we face, the Bible says that we do not battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities, darkness, spiritual things. And so the only way to battle spiritual things is through another spiritual force, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray this morning that just like in Acts 2, the dove started to descend and tongues of fire started to come from their heads, and they started to believe in something they had never believed in before, and then they started to move in signs, wonders, and miracles. They started to become the sons and daughters of the King. They started to become. They lived like it. Lord, I pray that we would stop thinking it up and we'd start to just know it because it's in our DNA, it's in our core. That we'd stop trying to think it all out and try to work it all out. And instead, we would trust and believe. we would step out in faith and we would just simply pray the words of Jesus. And if we don't know what to pray, we'd pray the word. We would pray the Bible and we would say, right, I'm going to pray this because Jesus did this and I'm going to pray this. And we would take sometimes our intellect out of it because sometimes it gets in the way. And the Lord has blessed us with that. But sometimes it needs to catch up with the reality of Christ. And so, Lord, this morning I ask you to come like that dove in our hearts, like that dove. And come with your holy fire, Lord, and burn up all of those lies that we have believed. And lies are not just that we're no good and this or that, but they could be lies about the Heavenly Father and lies about the Lord and lies about the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, you would come and burn up those lies this morning, things that only you can do. It's not about me, Lord. It's not about what I say. It's all about what you do, Lord. I ask you this morning, you would come and burn up the lies that says God doesn't want to heal anymore. Burn up the lies that says I couldn't believe for anyone. Burn up the lies that says that I couldn't ask God or believe for God to do anything of that in my life because I'm full of shame and I'm full of rejection and I'm full of this. And instead, Lord, you would come and remind us that you paid far too high a price, that you've brought us into fullness of life. You've brought us into abundance. And from that abundance, we will overflow. From that abundance, we will affect the world around us. And we will make a difference because God is in our hearts and lives. We will not be the generation that forgets. We will not be the generation that misses it. We will not be the generation that has to be moved on from. We will be the generation that pulls it down from heaven and extends it everywhere we go. The word says everything that we have is within reach. And so I'm stretching for it and I'm bringing it into being. I'm bringing it in, Lord, in Jesus' name. Every single thing, Lord. Every single thing. Your Holy Spirit is here, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is here to refresh us. Come and fill us to overflow, Lord. Come and overflow us, Lord. You overflow my cup. You don't just fill it up. You overflow it because that's what I need. That's what I need. Come with your tongues of fire this morning, Lord. Come and rejuvenate our hearts. Come and burn us up, Lord. Burn us up and consume us so we're only consumed with you and nothing else. Jesus, you're so worthy. Wow, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, move.